My name is Jo. I work at the University of Adelaide in Student Communications. I'd like to acknowledge that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples are the original and most enduring storytellers and artists, passing down a rich oral tradition of history, cultural values, and spiritual knowledge. Telling stories of our education journey that inspire and support understanding of backgrounds that are different from our own is one of the most powerful ways storytelling can positively influence our community. I was born and raised on Kaurna country and pay my respects to Kaurna elders, past and present.
People pay to get assignments done. Yeah, yes. That was a, like, totally new scenario.
And the blackmailing.
Yeah.
What blackmailing?
You'll want to make a note.
Should you be taking notes or something?
You got a pencil? Write this down, quick.
Why aren't you taking notes?
Write this down.
Aren't you going to write this down?
Did you need me to take notes?
Please take note.
Hello, and welcome to Take Note, the podcast where we give you the best notes and everything you need to know from the day you start uni to the day you graduate. Today is a very special episode joined by the Academic Integrity Ambassadors. It's a bit of a fun one. I feel like I have so many questions, and they answered every single one.
Yeah.
In this episode, they talk about why it's important to understand and recognize academic integrity. And a little sneak peek, we are joined by Jan and Naomi. They will be talking about real experiences and advice from students and as ambassadors themselves.
And we also touch on AI a little bit. It's obviously a hot topic on everyone's minds at the moment on what is AI, how can we use it, whatever. And we're getting it straight from the source from our own academic integrity ambassadors on some ethical uses and things like that.
And if you don't know what that is, the Academic Integrity Ambassador Program is a student leadership program aimed to promote academic honesty and fairness in university life. They run workshops and help with events and create resources for students. They talked about some things that are coming up for Academic Integrity Awareness Week, so yeah. Stay tuned. Without further ado, let's get straight into the episode.
Before this episode begins, we wanted to give you a disclaimer. Anything from this episode is not professional or endorsed advice, but opinions and personal experiences shared by students and the Academic Integrity Ambassador Program at the university. If you have any questions about any of your courses, please speak to your course coordinator for the direct answers relevant to your particular course.
Thank you so much for joining us today. It has been a long-awaited episode with the Academic Integrity Ambassadors. Why don't you get started with your name, what you study, and how you got involved in the AIA?
Hi, I'm Naomika Madheshwaran. I'm doing my Master's in Artificial Intelligence and Machine Learning. My program is totally like coding and reporting-based stuff. So when I came to know about the academic integrity stuff that students might breach, like we get flagged for some reasons. Mm. So that's when I got interested and wanted to help my peers, like saying that this is wrong, this is okay. That's why I joined academic integrity.
That's so good.
Well, I'm Janani, but feel free to call me Jan, and I'm one of the Academic Integrity Ambassadors, and I'm doing my Master's in Business Administration, majoring in Project Management, and I joined Academic Integrity because, as same as Naomika, I'm really passionate about learning, researching as a whole, and the joy and thrill it brings into doing so, and I just want to share those with my peers, and when I learned about the Academic Integrity in general, I was really keen and interested in implementing it in the life as well. So, yeah.
That'd be really good. I wish I had someone that could just tell me, oh, by the way, girl, that's cheating.
No, it would be so good.
Yeah.
Or like in group assignments, everyone, I don't know if you have group assignments in masters, but like everyone probably be like, oh, guys. And you're like, oh, no, we'll get caught. And they're like, oh, thank you so much.
Yeah.
I feel like it's everyone's worst nightmare. Like no one wants to get caught by academic integrity.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. And it's a long process too of you like in breach of it. So what is the Academic Integrity Ambassador Program and what do you do as like a member of it?
As a member, we raise awareness and help students like where to go and where to reach out if they have been flagged. And I think the main part is raising awareness.
I would say the same. We actually have a very designated week for creating awareness, which is coming up in August, by the way, and it's called Academic Integrity Awareness Week. So basically we create a lot of awareness about how one can get help from the university to not breach their academic integrity principles, and also all the available resources that they can employ in making their assignments and get as good grade as they want to get in their own way and how to use it properly in general.
Yeah, we have cool stuff coming up.
We have a lot of fun games planned, events planned.
That's good.
Yeah, that's so good.
Yeah. What does your like day-to-day look like as an ambassador?
I think when it comes to peer interaction, we have course visits where we go to classes and tell them like what academic integrity is and what not to do, what to do. I think other than that, we're just close with our peers and yeah, we just help them out.
Okay.
So I would say the same, like we have the semester's course visits coming up really soon. So when the new cohort comes in, like the new batch is going to come in, we just go there and we put on slides to explain them what is actually plagiarism and what is not.
Yeah.
And what is like, you know, there is a very thin line between plagiarism and copywriting. So you just tell them surely what text is plagiarism, what is copywriting, and how you frame it in your own sentence, and which is the easiest way to get your feedbacks on. There is like a lot of resources like Studiosity, for an example, which they can avail, get inputs from. Instead of using AI tools, you could just use something that the university is providing. So that's how day-to-day of the course visits looks like. And generally, as an academic integrity ambassador, we try to just help our friends in general, like, you know, hey, instead of doing that, why don't you use this, you know, there's this resource available for you, just go and, you know, try it out, maybe you will start to like it. And when you start to do that, I think like the spread of word through the mouth is really high. So I think a lot of our friends right now are really passionate about, you know, doing research and stuff. You could see that. But yeah,
adding on to Jan's thing, and I think students should also be aware about collusion. Because
I love the posters that Academic Integrity's got around campus at the moment. Like, oh, the collusion one is so good. It's like, I don't know, like crossing the line between collusion and so good. And then like how you can't submit an assignment that you've already submitted. Like each assignment has to be like own unique work. Like so much stuff that you just wouldn't even realize is.
I think that's a very tricky part.
Yeah.
There is, again, a very fine, thin line. And it's like if it's misused, it's getting really misused a lot. So we had a really good chat with our program coordinator, Claudia, about this. And we said that there should be an awareness created about collusion in general, and we have to include that in the policy as well. So there has been a lot of groundwork where we have to insist students that it's not right and just copying your senior's assignment and just submitting it in your own words, even though it's their idea. Technically you're stealing, but it is still a plagiarism in one sense, I would say. So we have been stressing on this, and I think students can look more forward to it in the Academic Awareness Week that we are going to do. So, yeah.
Where can they find out more about the events?
It's starting up, and we'll be more active on Instagram. So sneak peek would be
Instagram.
That.
You've got, there's an Instagram.
Nah, it's through UAA.
Do you guys know she runs it?
Yes, I know. we have been in talks with her. Yeah. That's what I hear. So we're going to do takeover of one day in an ambassador's life. It's a lot. There's a lot happening. So that we're going to let students actually know it's what we are trying to do, what the uni is giving them as a support and the resources they actually can avail. Like a lot of students that personally who have met me have told like, oh, I never know that such things happen. So this awareness week we are trying to go all out to spread all those information that we can provide for the students in general. And again, I think UAA on campus is gonna help us with that.
She's gonna make you guys look so good.
Fingers crossed.
So I guess what's something really interesting that you've learned since being in the program?
The thing I learned, people pay to get assignments done.
That
was a, like, totally new scenario.
And the blackmailing.
What blackmailing?
Like, there's these services on, tell me if I'm wrong, there's these services online that, like, you can pay someone to do your assignment for you, but then they start, like, blackmailing you. They're like, if you don't pay us another $300, we're going to let your university know that you paid us to do it.
I don't know about that.
Crazy.
Oh my gosh, what happened? Have you heard of it? Any like stories?
No, Claudia just mentioned it one day and I was like,
that's so scary. I feel like the university over time has become more like open-minded in terms of like considering people that might be grieving or like might be going through something personal that's like kind of out of your control. And like I totally understand having like no time to complete an assignment because you've got so much going on. What would you suggest as ambassadors to like students that might be going through a lot or are on a time crunch
So I recently discovered this, actually, which was wild for me. I had to fly to Sydney for work and I had an assignment submission on the same day and I couldn't work on that because of the travel planning and everything. So I reached out to my course coordinator. I had mailed him saying like, hey, I'm so and so and I have this in my schedule and I have a very good academic background. I told him like, see, I have very good academic scores and I want to keep that up. And I think by you giving me some time frame, I can achieve it. And so he said that there is a grant form available in the website. So just go and fill it. So I filled an extension form for 3 days. I don't have to provide any proof, but I reached out and I told him that there is this proof that I'm flying here doing this. Can you please extend the time for me? And I got a 3-day extension, which was very cool. I just say reach out in general. And if you have too much of a time crunch, you're feeling pressure, reach out to the counseling support. So just go there. And if it's too much, the counseling can actually support you to get the extensions done. So there is a lot of ethical ways to do and get your assignment done by yourself. So avail the resources that is available for you.
I've also asked an extension for like 2 assignments. I was totally gone by the end of the day, so I just mailed my professor and he was like, it's okay. And he was thankful and grateful, saying that thank God you didn't breach any integrity thing and you asked me.
Yeah. Basically, the message is like, just because you're running last minute, like, reach out because you're like course coordinators and your teachers are humans as well, and they like have a lot of compassion for you. And there's no point breaking the rules and potentially getting yourself in an even worse situation.
Exactly.
Like, just be upfront and honest about the situation that you're in instead of like breaking any rules.
Exactly. Just reach out to your faculties and they'll help you.
I guess it's a bit tricky because sometimes, like, in the beginning of your course, you know, course coordinators or, like, even just your tutors just say, like, please don't leave it last minute. I've told you so many times. And if you come at them last minute being like, I'm so stressed, I don't know why I've, like, got so much work going on, some might just, you know, say, like, sorry, I've already warned you about this.
Yep.
I came across a very similar situation like that where they've warned me a couple of times, like, don't leave it last minute. But obviously things happen. What I have gone to is student care from UX. Have you, are you guys familiar with that? I think so helpful.
Yeah, I mean, I've availed once. I had an incident. So student care is there to help you and guide you. But I would say just, you know, probably reach out to your course coordinator. And if nothing works out, student care works perfectly fine. Just go and reach out. There's always help in all different ways. As I said, avail the resources that is in the uni for you rather than just, you know, contemplating it by yourself and doing something that is going to just cost you your whole degree.
Yeah.
And just showing up to classes, regularly checking with your professor, just be active in class. I personally feel like that helped me a lot when I messaged him last minute.
Yeah, I agree with Jen, like showing up matters.
Yeah.
That's how the coordinator gets to know you.
I think, like, it's just a good reminder for students that, like, don't push, like, obviously push yourself, like, uni's hard and, like, give it the time that it needs. But, like, if other things are going on, like, it is okay to reach out and under no circumstances do not break the academic integrity policy. It will not be worth it in the long run when you get caught.
Yeah.
And I guess from what we were talking about before, we were talking about like some of the things that people don't realise are breaching the academic integrity policy. So things like collusion and copying work from a friend or reusing your own work that, like, even though it's your work, it needs to only be used in one assignment. And I guess the other big hot topic that everyone wants to know about is using AI in your work. When it is and when it isn't a breach of the academic integrity policy. So
okay, so when it is a breach and when it is not totally depends upon the course coordinator. Like some professors mentioned, like, for what you can use AI and phone and the other stuffs.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of way you can actually use AI where you can help in getting resources for your assignment but not doing your assignment. And again, professors actually give you a lot of leverage in using the amount of AI. Usually it's 10 to 15% of allowance. I'm not too sure.
I don't write reports.
like for us, it's usually reports. And it's because of the grammatical use of certain AIs. And when we use Word, so they have the AI embedded in Word. All our reports are Word. So sometimes they do have the negligence of 10 to 15% so that the AI editor of the word will come around 10 to 15%. So that's the only AI relevance. And we have to submit it in the word. So everything gets captured. So yeah. So it's pretty evident in the text itself. It's very precise what your professor is expecting from you. Mm. So you just do what you're asked to do. That's it.
And if you have any questions, like, don't be afraid to reach out to your course coordinator.
Yeah, because, absolutely, like, absolutely.
I know that I've had some course coordinators that are like, yes, like, please use it. Like, it's so good. And others are like, no, like, this is all done by yourself.
Exactly.
And, like, it's so good just to clarify because, like we said before, there's no point getting it wrong just because you're unsure.
Mm. Yeah. Exactly.
Personally, like, I've been using AI as a tutor.
Mm.
Like, it gives me schedules, like, what to focus and what not to.
Yeah, like, I've got this exam. These are all the topics that I've got. Can you write me a schedule? Of?
Yeah, mm. Exactly.
And it's like, that's not even doing any. That's just day-to-day life admin. You should study from this time till this time. Yeah. This topic, like, do you know what I mean? And then it's so much easier to space it out.
Yeah.
And I guess another thing that I really wanted to touch on is generative AI is taking over everything. We all know lots of generative AI platforms. Yeah. Can you guys just give us a bit of a quick explanation on what actually is generative AI?
This might sound technical, so where... The data is fed in, basically conversations and text and all these stuff that are in online resources, journal papers. And the model is trained in a way where it generates answers for what you're prompting for. Based on your question, it just answers. So nothing else. Basically, I think a Google search, but more in a refined conversational way.
Yeah. The other question, based on that, generative AI can't be a replacement for Google. So I can't just put my question in and know that it'll be 100% correct. Is that right?
Yeah. Absolutely. It is obviously true.
Absolutely.
It's never 100% correct.
Yeah.
It is essential to cross-check.
Mm-hmm.
Because even with Google search, like, many sources are not legal. Mm. Yeah.
I think that's the other good point, is that AI is training off of what the prompts that we give it. Like, if you always give it, like, really bland, direct prompts, it's going to keep giving you really direct answers. But if you're, like, adding in all of your personal touches about how you talk, it's going to start to match that and to, like, want to cater things to the way that you would want to receive prompts.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it says what you want to hear.
Yeah. AI and generative AI is being trained to what we tell it. So everything that it spits out is completely unique to your own generative AI. But I guess the good point on that is that just because it's unique doesn't mean that it's your own work. Yeah. So it can be so simple to just plug in, like, here's my assignment question, and bang, it does your whole assignment for you. And you're like, whoa, that's insane. And it's unique to you. Like, no one else is going to have the exact same submission, even if all four of us were to put in the same prompt. But the other good point there is that just because it's unique doesn't mean that it's your own work.
Yeah. I would more side on that because takes sources from different things and just put up an assignment, which might not even be relevant to the assignment question that it's being asked. Like, the assignment question is all about something that you cultivated in the class and what your professor has been talking about in the 6 weeks of lecture, actually. Mm. If you've paid attention to what they are speaking in the lecture, that's when you know what to write in the answer, actually. Not the one who's listening to your class or any other generative AI for that. So it's not gonna know what you actually listened in the class. They might have touched based on a lot of stuff that you might want to coach in your text, and whatever the content is going to provide, it's going to be too generative, and it's not your own work. It's someone doing the work for you. So why are we ultimately studying is because we want to gain something out of this course. So like, it's, if it's your own work, you're going to remember it till the end of your life, and you're going to implement in your career as well. And like this, I personally feel like this starts as just the start, and then every day you just go and ask, like, hey, how to bake a bread, probably asking about how to do basic needs in AI nowadays. And I think if it's going to continue on in 10 to 15 years, everyone's going to ask how to open the door to an AI. It's going, it's spiraling really, really fast.
I think that's a really good point. It's good to use AI to kind of structure or like kind of continue your train of thought, but you don't want to lose your creative skills or like skills that you might need on your like everyday life. Like, we're losing that when we don't even know what to decide on. Like, hey, I'm picking between these two options. Help me pick. Using AI when you're like studying for a quiz and stuff like that, they're not there for your lectures. They're not going to know the theories that you need to use for your exams. They're going to use theories that they think is the best fit, but they're not going to know. It's just really important to like actually listen in and take your own notes and have it, you know. Imagine it just starts talking about a whole new theory and your lecture is like, I'm learning something from her today, but it's not even from you.
Exactly. And when the professor sees it, they're going to just know, because they didn't even talk about this in the lecture. Yeah. They're like, how did they know this? I mean, like, it's not even in the curriculum.
You can use it to help you, like, help you study and to help make your life easier instead of letting it do any of your work for you. Yeah. I guess the other thing that we really wanted to ask you guys is about some of the tools and support services that the uni has available. Like, if you are wanting to use generative AI because you're struggling with writing and things like that, is there other supports available that people can use?
Yeah, I think, as Jan mentioned, Studiosity is available, and also the Writing Center, where you can book appointments. And I think they also have pop-ins sessions every Wednesday. I think that's very helpful, and especially personally, I've used the Math Learning Center a lot with statistics and
I think a lot of students are quite familiar with the Writing Center and the
Math Learning Center.
But if you were to describe what Studiosity is and what it does to a student, how would you describe it, or how would you explain it?
I've never used Studiosity, but I've heard from my friends who have used Studiosity. So you basically submit your assignment to Studiosity, and they will highlight where you're being, like, there's like grammatical errors, where you can improve, what the question has been demanding, and which area you're being lacking towards. The focus, maybe, like, you know, people don't usually focus on the fonts, the formatting in general. So Studiosity is really helpful in pointing you out where your format is wrong. So those kind of things will really help in general. But so basically in business, I don't know about engineering, or in general, when I studied engineering back home in bachelor's as well, the standard form of writing a report is using 12, the font size 12 times New Roman, and in 0.5 line spacing, and the format, it's like
justify
like, is that what it is, like the straight lines of everything, that's the one. So you use this for everything, and only the headings has to be bold, and again, the font size should not change, it should be bold and capitalized, and it's just formatting. It's very easy. This is what everyone expects. When you do this, you automatically get 10 to 20 points. It's very easy in scoring 10 to 20 points in your essay. The professor expects this. So the very thin line between getting a D and a HD is formatting. That's it. Like, if you format this, you get your HD. And our university only accepts Harvard style. Yep. So
I think there's a difference between a normal Harvard one and a Harvard Australia.
Okay. Google Scholar is amazing. For just use it. Yeah. And nowadays, a lot, I search that. When I have a doubt, I go to Google and search, like, hey, can you suggest me some journals on this topic? It actually links me to Google Scholar, and there's a lot of links which you can avail. It's really cool. It's not just generative AI. Even the Google search engines are really good in searching journals in general.
Everyone loves Google Scholar.
It's super helpful.
And the other thing I wouldn't discount is, like, our library's search function. Like, we have such a, like, as students of the university, we have access to such a wide array of things, and you can really use the library search website to your advantage. Like, you can put in keywords, and you can put in, I don't want it to include things about this, I definitely want it to include things about this, which is so useful.
It's absolutely amazing, because I just started recently as a volunteer in the special collections of the uni library, and let me tell you, we have so much resources in library. Like, there are millions of books available for students to read, code, and it's everything in digital format. You just have to go through your MyAthens, and you get library in your own laptop. The whole library is there for you to search, and there is an amazing search engine for us. So we have been thinking about including that in the awareness week as well, to guide students on how to use it, like, you know, and leverage it to the max.
I was just gonna say, I stopped buying, like, my textbooks that my course required, because it's all in the library anyway.
Exactly, it's good.
The uni library, I think we also have a citation, export citation thing. Library
That's
search.
Good.
Yep.
And library also provides access for EndNote.
Is it normally a paid thing? Okay. That's cool.
Wow.
But many people don't know about it.
Many people don't know about it.
It's crazy how quick AI, like, came about, though. Like, I was in college in 2021, and we had a whole, like, class. I think we spent about a week just practicing writing and referencing we didn't have that generator stuff back then. And we were also not allowed to use them. I think, like, it's kind of ingrained in my brain how to reference now, because I've gotten
into practice of how to use it. But I think there's quite a few resources online in our uni website about how to reference as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We have a PDF which actually clearly guides you in how the author name should come first.
Mm. Yes, and then I think that's what I got.
Yeah, so okay. it's really detailed and everything is in focus on the PDF.
Where can students find that?
It's in the library website.
Okay.
As well. Yeah, it's in the library.
I think the library also runs AI workshops as well.
Yes, so ethical use of AI. Yeah. You do that. So you can just go and attend. It actually is really informative.
Yeah.
And you can really have a really good insight on where to use AI ethically in general.
Because like things we see online is like how to cite a PDF, but like that, I'm pretty sure that document we're talking about right now, how to cite and how to like reference, it shows you how to reference even like a book or like a CD.
Yeah, everything, like websites.
Yeah.
To go and search it in the website, and there is a detailed PDF on how to reference the images you have done, the PDFs, the files you have attached, the tables you have done. Every formatting differs, but every resource is already there.
Library also conducts workshops for referencing. I think students can.
That's good.
What I'm gathering from this episode so far is there's really no reason to ever break the academic integrity policy. You can get all your research, you can get like all of your referencing, researching, the university has it all for you. And if you just like make sure that you're across all of the resources that you have, you should have no issues staying in line with all of the academic integrity policies.
Yes, absolutely.
I think that's just like the importance of like getting into practice of academic integrity, because you want to practice these skills, you want to be able to apply it in your future jobs. It's not about like, oh my gosh, I literally don't care about this case study I'm studying right now, I have no interest in it, when I work I'm not gonna study about them. But it's more so getting into practice like researching, or how you get information and what you want to know about and what you extract from those information, those long research.
And you don't want to become so accustomed to using AI and things like that, because when you go into the workplace, like, workplaces are going to expect you to know how to do the degree that you've studied. And, like, even though the assignments that you're doing might not seem that relevant, it's like they're all being set for a reason. And it might not necessarily be about the content. It's about the practices that you learn and building you to be ready for the career that you're studying in.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Well, it's been fabulous having you guys on today. I feel like so many people are going to be so excited about the Academic Integrity Ambassadors program and to attend Academic Integrity Awareness Week. Oh my God, such a tongue twister.
It is.
But like the stuff that all of the ambassadors are doing, and especially you guys, is like so inspiring, and it's been so good to hear about all of that.
Thank you for having us.
Okay, so we're moving on to our next segment of this episode. While we've got our two Academic Integrity Ambassadors here, we thought it would be fun to play a game. It's called Chill or Shady. So Megan and I have got all of the answers here, and we're going to be testing our Academic Integrity Ambassadors on how well they know some common academic integrity problems and things like that.
So this is the situation here. You are quoting directly from a written source for a written assignment. You put the materials in quotation marks. You put an in-text reference after the quote and include the reference in your reference list. Is that chill or shady?
Chill.
That's correct.
Okay, round two. You've completed the research and writing for an assessment, but you're not sure if your use of English is correct. You pay an editing service to professionally edit your assessment, and they rewrite portions so it makes more sense.
Shady.
Oh, that one's interesting. That's correct. Partway through your clinical placement, you realize you haven't been making adequate notes to write your reflective journal, so you make up some comments about each of your clients based on information from an internet search.
Oh, shady.
Shady. Oh, that is shady.
Okay. An upcoming assignment is a talk, and you and your friend are having a tough time writing what to say. You have different tutors. You both write the speech together, changing a few words here and there to suit your own styles.
Shady.
Yes.
That's correct.
God, you guys are good. It's like you're trained in it or something.
This one's scary. You have broken your arm and have been hospitalized for several days. You haven't been able to write your assignment for one course. Instead, you submitted an assignment your friend had written for the same course last year.
Shady.
I feel like that one's really bad.
Yeah. We coded on this earlier, right? Like, just ask for help.
Yeah. Okay, a friend posts screenshots of the whole exam to a Facebook Messenger page and offers to give you access. You refuse the materials and follow the course coordinator's guidance on how to prepare for the exam.
Chill,
yeah.
That one's tricky. I read it and I was like,
I was like, what?
But yes, it's chill.
As long as you're being ethical, it's chill.
It like trips you up. It says you could have got access, but.
A friend asked to look at your reflective journal for ideas in a course you've already completed. You would like to help them, but rather than giving them your work, you offer to review the resources and guides you use to write your journal.
Chill. I do that all the time when someone, you know, asks for help. I just say like, oh, search this, search that, go for this and do that. That's actually really helpful.
Yeah.
You're trying to paraphrase a source. You explain the original work in your own words in a longer way than the author has done.
Oh, that's so chill.
Chill. Unless you cite it.
Yeah, you just give proper referencing and just citing it.
Yeah, chill.
It's chill. Good job, guys.
That's the segment for Chill or Shady.
You guys smashed it 100%.
Literally.
Claudia will be happy.
Yeah.
We put you guys in the hot seat, but you passed it with flying colours.
We're proud ambassadors.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, and I'm really excited to see how this episode turns out. I feel like I've learned so much about like what's Chill or Shady in general, but...
And like just about the whole Academic Integrity Ambassador program, I assume that you guys would all encourage other people to join the program, and even if they're not in the program, to be just a general ambassador to their friends and encourage them to do the right thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for having us. That would be like really great. And I think this is a very good opportunity for us to let people know that we're not the only ambassadors. Like we just wear the t-shirts and just be the face.
By the way, you look fabulous in your yellow t-shirt.
We call it golden t-shirts.
I love that, golden.
It's not just about us. It's just every individual in their own sense. Just be true to yourself and just be true to what you're learning and just, you know, working. And I think I hope whatever we just spoke about just ignites a bit of a spark in everyone.
Yeah, me too. I'm sure it will. Yeah. I feel like everyone's constantly wanting more information, like what's okay to do at uni, how does everything work? And you guys have just answered so many questions that I'm sure everyone has.
So helpful. Yeah. How would someone join the program?
I think we'll get a notification and...
Just look out for the international student news. So usually we have a lot of opportunities listed in the student newsletter that you get every fortnight. So be taken twice per year, semester-wise. So I got recruited for the semester 2. So I think this year's application is closed for now. And the next application will open in the end of October to November 1st week.
Because you have to complete at least one study period.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And you have to have one study period left, if I'm not wrong.
Yes.
Yes.
You can also check it in the volunteering website of the uni, so it will be listed down.
All the volunteer roles, it's one of the volunteer roles in there. So it's you'll be, there's also the staff news, student news in the website, uni website. There's also, it's listed. There's a lot of ways that it's getting promoted. Just watch out, I would say.
Yeah.
And that is wrapping us up for today. Thank you so much all for joining us. It has been an incredible episode, and it is part one of our two-part series that we're giving you just a week apart. So stay tuned next week, because we'll be, for the first time ever, giving you two episodes only a week apart.
If you enjoyed the show, then please follow us on Spotify so that other students can find us too. You can also head over to the amazing Instagram that Olivia's running at UOA.oncampus. where you can leave feedback or even check out all the videos that she's made about how to survive uni and thrive in uni.
Yes. And don't forget to tune in next week as we hear from another AI expert from around the university so that you can be even more prepared for semester 2.
See you next fortnight.
Take note.
This is a UOA on campus production.